I hope that you've seen in those pictures of Vacation Bible School Jesus. I hope your eyes were opened and your ears were attuned to seeing Jesus in our midst and in our lives and in the lives of those young people. What a blessing. What a blessing that was. Well, today's passage is from Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 34. Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and of the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Oh, this is God's good news for you, the people of God. Amen? All right. Well, last Sunday we began our We Believe series on the Apostles' Creed. And as I shared with you last week, we shared about we believing in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And I'm not preaching this series so that we might have some kind of cookie-cutter Christianity. It's okay if you're not exactly where I am, but I'm preaching this series so that you'll know where your pastor stands. And I think that's important for you. But also I'm preaching this series so that you can revisit those foundational truths and know where you stand and why. So you ready to get started with the second one? All right? All right. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And here's what I believe. I believe Jesus Christ is the only Son. He is the divine Son. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is God in the flesh. And it's only by Jesus that we are saved from our sins and brought into a right relationship with God. There is no other way to the Father but through the only Son. The only way to God the Father is by the Son. You can't get there by what you do. You can't get there by being a good person or by saying the right kinds of things. It's not about you. It's about God sending his only Son. It is grace upon grace so that we could have a way to the Father. We are the children of God, sons and daughters of God. But we are not divine. We're only created in the image of the one who is divine. We are the adopted sons and daughters of God, chosen and loved by the Father. So there are not many sons of God like Jesus. There is only one, and it is only through him, through Jesus, that we have life eternal. And church, I believe Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of my life, and I hope he's the Lord of yours. He is the focal point of our being. He is King of all that I am, all that is, and all that I have, all that I am, all that I ever will ever be rests on Jesus Christ. He is the purpose of my being, and my life belongs to him. How about you? Amen? Good. Well, have you told anyone lately? Have you told anyone lately that truth? Who he is, and what that means to you. You know, there's a number of places in our world where speaking the name of Jesus in public or just sharing your story of faith with a friend could get you imprisoned or even worse. I remember watching a news program, this was a few years back, called The Christianity in Iran. It was one of the newscasts, I think it was from NBC, it was a secular newscast. And of course, with the social media, or the secular media, I figured it was just another one of those shows where they're going to be throwing pot shots at Christianity or Christians. And they always seem to find people like, you know, Pastor Bubba, who graduated from Possum Holler U or whatever, to speak for Christians. Or they find, you know, Sister Bertha with the beehive and the big glasses. I'm not sure where they find these places, but they have to work hard digging them up. But this wasn't one of those kinds of shows. It was actually very, very well done. And the guy doing the interview was just amazed at the faith and the commitment of these Iranian Christians. Here is a country where over 90% of the population is Muslim. And if you're anything other than Muslim, it's not the easiest place to live. In Iran, there are estimated some 300,000 Christians. Now, that sounds like a lot, isn't it? But you know, that's only one half of 1% of the population. And most of these are ethnic Armenians and Assyrians who practice their Orthodox faith openly in state-supported churches. But they're monitored very, very closely. Because you see, the government doesn't allow any sort of evangelism to take place. No, just as I am, okay? No John 3:16 signs, no witnessing, no little fishes on the back of your bumper, you know? No set of prayers prayed. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? But the greatest persecution experienced in Iran is with evangelical Protestant Christians. That would be like us Methodists, or Baptists, or Pentecostals, or Assemblies, or the like. Those who must share their faith and help others come to this saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to grow in Jesus Christ in their discipleship. For these Christians in this Muslim world, it's not uncommon for them all to be imprisoned whenever they're found out or even killed for sharing their faith with someone in the Muslim community. And so Christianity has to go underground. You don't go walking down the street singing, "What a friend I have in Jesus." Okay, you just don't do that. And so these Iranian Christians, these evangelical Protestants, they have to be very secretive whenever they meet to worship and to study and so that they grow in Christ. And so what they do is they find a room or a building, a basement, where they cannot be heard from the outside. And it might take 2 to 3 hours for everyone to show up because they can't show up all at the same time because it would draw attention. Can you imagine taking 6 to 8 hours just to go to church, just to get there? And then you have to sneak in and have to sneak out. Well, I know sometimes we sneak out, but still. But when you finally come together, you know, after hours and hours of just getting in, you sing and you pray for hours. There they grow in their knowledge of their faith, and there they make their plan on how they can be an effective witness for sharing Jesus Christ with their world. And of course, the interviewer, he was just blown away because of the passion of these men and women literally putting their lives on the line to share that message of who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing in my life and what Jesus can do in your life. They were literally putting their lives on the line just to meet in worship, to worship the living God who sent His Son Jesus Christ to be our Redeemer. One of the women interviewed, by the way, when the women meet in worship, it's with uncovered hair. Yeah, yeah. She said that she shares Jesus' message on campus with her students, and she has to be very careful, but if she is reported and she's put to death, she welcomed it Because she is alive in Jesus and she is willing to give her life to share the good news of Jesus' gospel. A man that was interviewed said that he had been witnessing to a number of clerics who have now turned their lives over to Jesus Christ, and they're growing in their faith in the Lord, and that he too sees that his life is worth giving up for the gospel. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Folks, you know, we don't experience these kinds of struggles in the faith here in the United States, here in the United States, right? Thank the Lord we don't do that. And thank the Lord for the men and women who've made that possible so that we don't have to live like that. Man, we can openly share what we believe and why we believe it. We can openly share not only our faith, but what God is doing and doing for others in God's name. We can openly share and not have to be afraid that a group of men might come in the middle of the day to our home and take us away, drag us out of our workplace. Oh, the greatest thing that we have to fear is maybe offending someone or being called names or being viewed as a religious nutcase because our faith calls us to live countercultural. Oh, our faith calls us to live transformed lives. But hear this, you cannot live a transformed life until your life has been transformed. And that transformation only comes through Jesus Christ when he becomes the Lord of your life. And you see, that's the image of the Apostle Peter in today's passage I shared with you in the book of Acts. Peter is living out his life as this transformed person of Christ. He is laying his life on the line. He is saying that my life belongs to God. All that I am, all that I have, all that I'm ever going to be belongs to God. And with that heart and passion, he brings the good news of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Now understand, it didn't happen overnight. Peter's passion, Peter's transformation into this powerful voice, this powerful man of God, didn't just happen. It took time. It took years. And it also took a willing heart. And it's no different for us. In the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he called four fishermen to follow him. Remember that story? Peter was one of these men, and he answered that call. And as Peter walked with Jesus and blended his life with Jesus, he grew in faith. And in today's first lesson that Nicole read for us, it's probably 2 or 3 years following Peter's first call upon Jesus with his life. We hear Peter's great confession. Jesus asks the question, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter replies, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." Peter put it all together. Jesus is the Son of God. He is Messiah. And Peter makes Jesus the Lord of his life. And so Peter is being transformed. And as Peter keeps his heart open to Jesus and he willingly seeks to follow him, he continues this life of transformation. And we know that he has his ups and his downs, and he goes through these wonderful mountaintop experiences, and he travels through these awful, terrible, dark valleys. But in time, through journeying with Jesus and keeping his heart and his life open to him, we finally see this powerful man of God emerge as the one who has been transformed by Christ and who is seeking to transform others. You see, Peter's story is really the same kind of story as those Iranian Christians who were willing to do whatever it took to share the gospel of Jesus. Peter's story is very much like our story as we have sought to share Jesus with others because of the transformation that has taken place in our lives. You see, in Christ, we are transformed to transform. Well, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is God's only Son, who is Lord. And because of this, my life and it's been changed. I am this new creation, and God has called me to share this wonderful good news, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian. You hear that? Because I'm a Christian, God calls me to share this wonderful good news. I believe that God is God sent His only Son, so the message of God could be conveyed to the world. And when a person receives this message into their hearts and their lives, and they respond to God in their hearts by inviting Jesus Christ to become the Lord of their life, then that life becomes transformed through Jesus Christ. The purpose of this transformation, I believe, is also threefold. It's like a three-legged stool. First of all, that transformation is for the individual. It is for our personal relationship with God. Christ comes into our life so that we might know Him, that we might fall deeper and deeper in love with Him as each day follows, and that we would grow strong in the Lord. Secondly, the purpose of transformation is also for the world. It is for our community, and it is for beyond us. Christ not only comes to make a difference in us, but He comes to make a difference through us. This is love in action. This is making a difference in people's life. It is bringing healing to those who are hurting. It is binding up the brokenhearted. It is kingdom people ushering forth the kingdom of God into this broken, into this darkened world. It is bringing light. You've heard that. It is bringing light. It is bringing God to bear upon the world in what we intentionally do. God calls us to know Him and to trust in Him, to accept Him personally and to live in Him. And then God calls us to do something with our faith daily. But you know, sometimes we get stuck in one of these. Sometimes people get stuck in their personal journey with God, and their faith really becomes all about them and my relationship with You, Jesus. Their Christian experience only revolves around their personal knowledge and their intimate growth in Jesus Christ. And we think that's all what faith is. And that's all we focus on. Folks, where would we be today if the disciples were only concerned about their personal knowledge of Jesus and how they could grow in their love relationship with Him and the Father? Where would we be? It wouldn't be here. Well, the church wouldn't be here. It's kind of like saying so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. So sometimes, you see, people just get stuck on themselves. Or secondly, sometimes people get stuck in the world. We get so excited about what Jesus has done for us and in us, we want to go and we want to do for others. Our hearts have changed, and man, we are compelled to make a difference in our world because of what Jesus made that difference in me. And so we get so incredibly busy with all kinds of programs and social programs or missions, and we help out with community projects, and we feel really good about that. Man, we're making a difference. It is love in action, and it is good. But where it all goes wrong is when it becomes the totality of our faith, even taking precedence over our personal relationship with God. We're out there doing and going and just having the greats, but we're never meeting with Jesus. We're never breaking open His Word. We're never lifting up our hearts and our minds and making ourselves open to God in prayer or in worship or in whatever else. It's all about the doing. And so when tragedy comes, or illness comes, or some life-shaking event comes our way, we won't have the base that we need because it's not been developed. It's not been nurtured. We're not allowing ourselves to develop that essential personal relationship. And then we find ourselves all full of questions and our faith on the rocks. So sometimes people just get stuck doing, reaching out, but not growing personally. So the purpose of transformation is threefold. It is for the individual, for one's personal relationship with God. It is for the world. It's for our community and for beyond. And thirdly, it is for making new disciples. It is about replication. Oh, to be transformed is to know and grow with God personally. It is to reach out into our world with action that makes a difference. And it is to be intentional about bringing others to that same saving and life-changing experience that we have experienced. It's there in the Great Commission. Jesus said to us, therefore go, make disciples of all nations. He wasn't just talking to 11 men. He was talking to all of us as God's people. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Oh, the third purpose of transformation is replication. It's intentionally making new disciples, and this does not happen by accident. It's intentional. Jesus said to us to go and make disciples, baptize them, to teach them. This is intentional evangelism. And then Jesus encourages us with these words, because evangelism scares the heebie-jeebies out of us, doesn't it? Yeah. He says, I am with you always. You're not going to be by yourself in this. You'll never go by yourself in this. I am there before you get there. I am with you always. In other words, you're not alone in this. Now, I'm going to go more in depth about that next Sunday when I talk about the Holy Spirit. But today what I want to share with you is simply this. Making disciples is always intentional. Always intentional. A number of years ago, this teaching slipped into the church that said, if you just live a good life and let other people see Jesus alive in you, then they're going to be drawn to God, and these people will eventually ask Jesus Christ into their heart and life because what they see in you. Right. Yeah. Folks, people are dense, you know? People are dense, especially men. Right, ladies? Yeah? There are times that us men, man, we need things, spell it out, okay? If your husband's watching a football game and you say, honey, the trash is getting kind of full, you know, what your husband hears is, honey, you might want to take the trash out in a few days, okay? Us guys can be kind of dense. It's kind of like that commercial. It was a few years back. I love this commercial. It was an Arby's commercial, of all things. Here's this beautiful woman. She's lying in bed with a skimpy little red nightgown on, and she calls out to her husband to come to her, and you can hear him, you know, walking down the hall, and she sticks this red rose in her mouth, and he steps into the room, and she lifts up a glass of wine, and she takes out the rose, and she says, honey, you thinking what I'm thinking? And he gets this look of surprise on his face, and he smiles real big. He says, yeah, it's 2-for-1 night at Arby's. You get dressed, I'll get the car, you know? Sometimes people can be dense. And it's the same way with sharing our faith. People have to see it alive in us, but they also have to hear it. We have to spell it out. Jesus didn't just call his disciples and then live a godly life before him and hope that they'd figure out, did he? No. He also taught them. He spoke the word of God to them of who God is and how God loves them. As he showed them, he spoke it. People have to see God alive in us, and they also have to hear the word of God from us in order to be transformed. And so, folks, when these three parts, or when these three legs of transformation, whenever they come together in the life of a believer, when personally we are in this growing relationship with God, when we are reaching out in ministry and mission to our world, And when we're sharing our faith by word and deed, when these three parts come together, amazing, wonderful things happen. Just like it did for Peter and the men and women that he witnessed to that day so long ago. Just like it's happening for those Iranian Christians today. And just like God is doing and will do through you and through me, as we open up our life to the Lord of life, as we give our heart and to Him, and as we trust Him as our Lord. The transformation that Peter experienced is the same kind of transformation that happens in our lives, in the lives of believers today. Oh, church, I believe in Jesus Christ, who brings that transformation. I believe Jesus is the Son of the living God, our Savior, and He has come to transform our lives in order that we might transform our world. And I hope you believe that too. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank You for Your Son Jesus, for He is Lord of all. He is our Lord and He is God. Father, just help us to continue to draw near to Him and to draw near to one another as we seek to live out as Your people. Continue to transform us, Father, into Your likeness, into Your presence. And so, Lord, that we might share not only by deed, but also by word, who You are and what You are in our lives. For this we ask and this we pray in Your name, Jesus. Amen.